Chicago. I would encourage you to go. I've mentioned this to some people, but 2 years ago, Alexandra and I, we went to Chicago, and while we were there, the Lord downloaded something in my heart, my spirit. And as I was listening to the story of how the city, you know, you go on top of the Sears Tower, and they show you pictures how the Chicago was burned, completely burned down. There was only two buildings that stood. One was as a church that didn't get anything, was not even touched. Fire didn't even close. The other one was the fire station. I guess the fireman has to save their own house, right? So apart from that, everything was burned down. And then the city decided, how are we going to rebuild the city? And when we look at how they build the street and how they develop the city, they decided that, you know what, since we're going to rebuild it again, we're going to do a better job. We're going to build it in a better way because some of the road doesn't really work well. And then now, this is what we're going to do. We're going to change a couple of things since all the city is burned down. So, and while I was there, the Lord spoke to me about a couple of things about rebuilding, redigging the well of revival. And came back, and one of the youth from Bethel, his name is Banning Libich. You probably don't know who he is. You know Reinhard Bonnke and all those kind of things. So he came to Toronto for a conference. And while he was there, I prophesied over him about the Chicago awakening, about the Chicago rebuilding the city. And I don't even know who he was at the time, right? Didn't even realize. And he went back home. He got another information. He downloaded a lot of things from the Spirit God's put. And he started putting this young Jesus culture awakening in Chicago. And then another thing is there was a prophetic word that was given to Reinhard Bonnke in the church here in Toronto, and I was with a small group of 15 people, and Jim Gall, who's a prophet seers from England, came and suddenly just out of the blue just prophesied over Reinhard, and Reinhard was happened to be sitting just like where Bob is sitting, and I have my camera with me. All I need just to press the record button, and I record that prophetic word over him. That was the only recording you can get. It's on my Facebook. If you have Facebook, you can go and check it out. And Jim Gall was prophesying over Reinhard about now he's going to go. In the United States, he's going to fill the arena. Next thing we know, it was another confirmation. He's now going to Allstate Arena now. So there's a couple of things came together. And while I was searching about Chicago Awakening, I came across a revival that's happening in Chicago. How many of you heard about that revival? Yes. It's amazing. And I'm getting goosebumps here. It happened in 1913. And there was this lady. And in those days, there's not of evangelists, woman evangelists. But it happened that she's a woman evangelist. You know, and she's been invited to go to this church called Stone Edge or Stone Gate Church. She was supposed to speak for two or three nights, right? And while she was there, the Holy Spirit showed up. There was an outpouring of the Holy Spirit in that church, and amazing thing happened. People start getting healed. People start getting saved. The church started to triple, quadruple in overnight. And their stories of so many healing that everything is documented. And one of the healing that kind of, there was a lady, she was pushing her husband in a wheelchair. And as they coming to the door of the church, the husband just stood up and walked. He just got healed. Nobody prayed for him. Just healing just happened in his body. He just stood up and his bones just snapped. And I remember back in 1988, I was in Birmingham, England. I was in a conference called Eurofire Conference, and with Reinhard Bonnke. And two rows behind me, I heard some bone snapping noise. Little did I know, there was a man who was crippled on a wheelchair. God was touching him. You know, you don't really, you hear the bone snapping. You don't know what it really means. And the next thing you know, you hear a roar. And the people know that this man suddenly jumped and started to run. And he was paralyzed, completely paralyzed on a wheelchair. And I have this kind of understanding of bone snapping. So when you heard, you read another story, you have this people coming for the wheelchair. Nobody even pray, just got healed, just like this. And you realize this God is about to do something. And apparently this is one of the greatest move of revival happened in the state. And they were going on and going on, nights after nights, night after nights, night after nights. We don't want to stop. And because of that, we didn't get any too much rest. They go to bed 2, 3 o'clock in the morning. The next, like 7, 8 o'clock in the morning, they have people want to talk to them, meet with them, want to pray with them. After you go for a couple of months, guess what? Your body can't take it. So after a while, they realize, you know what? We can't keep going. You know, your brain can't function properly, and there's lack of rest. So as I always say, the number one killer of revival is lack of rest. We need to rest. And then the last night, they have this revival going on. There's a prophetic word that came in this meeting. And the prophetic words say that this is just a taste of what God is about to do down the road. This is a taste. And this, like, what? If that's a taste, that's just a commercial ad from the Holy Spirit. What's God about to do? Right? And literally, this is going to really going to go multiply and go, you know, bigger. And so when I look at this prophetic thing and I see what God's been doing in Chicago, and then they went to this place called All State Arena, which means all the state coming together for greater revival. And what they've been listening to hear from the God, from the Holy Spirit, is they hear the Holy Spirit say that they're going, He's going to impart a revival anointing on 18,000 people. Now, there's more than 18,000 people is going to fill this arena. I pray that over 100,000 people is going to be there. And now I'm listening to this. I say, God, if I've been part of that, I heard what been said to Reinhard Bonnke. I was the one who, you know, and you put all this puzzle together, said, we need to be there. Right? So I will encourage you guys, even if it's something for the youth thing, but I believe it's for everyone who's hungry for God. If you're hungry for God, it doesn't matter if you're 85 years old or 90 years old. Right? Abraham was 90, right? He was hungry for God. God used him. Right? So, and I will really encourage you to think about it and pray about it and go. You know, it's that simple. Just go and receive impartation. Receive something from the Holy Spirit. And you know what? Many times I heard people say, you know, when I read the book of Acts, when the Holy Spirit showed up, when people were going out in the marketplace and they're prophesying, the people's getting healed, and all this kind of thing, say, I wish I can see. And they want to taste those days. And you know what? We have a lot of move of the Holy Spirit today. You know, Azusa Street is one of them. The Great Awakening, right? And so I will encourage you, if God is doing something, if the Holy Spirit is something, go and see for yourself what God is doing. Okay? All right. Let me... I want to share something, and I believe the Holy Spirit gave me something to share with you today. And we're going to have communion as well. And just before we have communion, we're going to pray for people who you have your resume, you have a business plan, or you have something that you want us to pray for, and it's on paper. We're going to pray for you as well. We're going to ask God to anoint and give wisdom and give knowledge and leading and direction. You want to go, Amy? No? Okay. All right. How many of you were blessed so far what's been happening the last couple of weeks in this place? And I can tell you one thing. Try not to miss one Sunday, because every Sunday I felt like the Holy Spirit is building on top of each other. It's like building blocks, you know? It's like building foundation, foundation, foundation. Now, today I want to talk about the spirit of wisdom, right? And a lot of time we talk about wise, being wise, have wisdom. I'm going to talk about this, the spirit of wisdom, the reason, the purpose, and how it functions. And now, I realize a lot of times that when people try to explain something to somebody else, or somebody try to teach something to a crowd, anything, and sometimes people don't get it. And yet it's very simple, very clear, and yet sometimes people don't get it. And I remember listening to two people talk, and yet people doesn't get it. And I realize that wisdom is a very key. It's a very important thing for us. How many of you want wisdom from God? I see two people didn't put their hands up. Anyway, all of us, we want wisdom. You know, the thing is, the Bible teachers say that God do nothing unless he counsel for wisdom. He look for wisdom in everything he does. He will not do anything unless he find what the wisdom is saying. And if God is doing this, he's God, how much more you and I need to ask wisdom, what are you saying? What do you want me to do? Speak to me. Reveal things to me. Teach me. I want this understanding. Do I do it? Do I don't? That's why King David is very successful, because every time he asked God, and he asked God, do I go, you want me to go into battle, or you want me to go in or not? And until he hear from God, he don't do anything. Jesus did the same thing. He said, Father, I do anything unless I hear from the Father. So I am going to do a couple of things, do a couple of tests, a little kind of questioning there, and then we're going to into this PowerPoint. Okay? Here we go. I hope it works. Can you see that? Okay. Do you consider yourself to be a spiritual-minded person? Yes or no? Sometimes, all the times, a few times. All right, and you know, the first thing that we learn with God is understanding our own spirit. If you understand your own spirit, because the Bible says how you think is who you are, and you have different voices that speak inside of you, right? Your wisdom, your intellect, your knowledge, and then the Holy Spirit, and then the enemy, and all these kind of things. So the voice of your soul. So we learned how to discern what the voice is. Who are we listening to, right? We did that. So by you trying to listen, to develop your sensitivity to who are you, who am I? When I say this, why do I say this? Why do I think this way? That is a good thing. But now we come to a place, we're stepping a step further. When we talk to people, now we start to listen to what kind of spirit we're listening to. When somebody speak to you, they say something wonderful, great. But sometimes they say something, you realize, wait a minute, that's not good. It sounds wise. Sometimes when people pray for us, you listen to it. And sometimes from the prayer, I listen, I thought, not good. Now, you have to be careful when people kind of always pat you and put you up on a pedestal. They always pray, say good thing about you all the time, and especially when do this in prayer. I learn not all the time it's real. And if you're going to find friend and people who are always going to do that, you have to discern what kind of spirit is activating behind that. Not all the time they are the right one. If you want to say, Pastor John, for example, I really appreciate you. I really like you. I received something from you. Go and talk to me. I'll be happy. I will be encouraged to hear it. But sometimes when people do this in prayer, I'm careful how it's done. You know? And I learned, you know, to be sensitive to the spirit of Judas, who always come and, you know, say good thing and they kiss you and the next thing they're betraying you. Nobody wants to be deceived by a spirit. And you'll be happy for a moment, but your happiness will be short when you learn to discern. So it's come to a place where now not only have I learned what are the things that go through my mind, through my heart, through my spirit, but I now to learn to discern what is happening to the other person who's speaking to me. I learned to identify with their spirit. If that's the spirit of God or the spirit of wisdom or the spirit of fear or the spirit of confusion, you know, and you start to say, wait a moment, or a spirit of argument or, you know, condemnation, judgment. So you start to pay attention to these things that's going around you. And this, they are very careful. You have to be very, and this is very, very important for us, right? Psalm 1, we read it last week, verse 1, right? Blessed is a man who do not dwell, right, in the seat of the mockers and all this kind of thing, but his delight is in the ways and the law of the Lord, and he's meditate on it day and night. And the more you spend time in the presence of God, you'll be able to discern. You go to work, somebody says something, somebody wants to sell something to you, and you know if they are telling you the truth or they're lying to you, they're trying to deceive you, what's going on behind that. So sometimes you just keep quiet. Sometimes you don't say anything. So I'm going to talk today about wisdom. All right? Okay. So do you consider yourself to be a spiritually minded person? Sometimes, not all the times. Now, what happened when your flesh rise up? What happened when you have an accident or whatever? Something happened negative. Sometimes you have to, we learn, you know, we have different, now, we have different things that happen now. I want to stretch you guys a little bit. Is that okay? Is that okay? All right. The other day I was spending some time with the Lord, and I shared this with the men's group on Wednesday night, and literally God confirmed it for a couple of things, and the Lord say that anger is a gift from God. And say it again. It said anger is a gift from God if you use it properly. The Bible say, be angry, but in your anger do not sin. Jesus was angry. Did he commit sin? Now, trying to find a picture, how did he, what was happening when he was angry? Now, God created everything. You agree with me? Everything. Everything was created by him. He created everything. And if he created everything, that means he also created anger. Do you have anger in your life? How many tell you that this is a sin? Have you heard that before? You're agreeing. You're committing sin right now. You're not supposed to be angry. You're a Christian. You're not supposed to be angry. This is a lie. You listen to the sensitive. God literally put that in you because if you don't, you're going to be depressed. You carry things that you're not supposed to carry. You have to sometimes go out in the woods and scream. Go on top of the mountain and Raise your voice. I don't know why. Just get it out. God do this so you felt decompressed. But sometimes we don't use it. It's a gift from God. And if you go to Grant Mullen, he will tell you the same thing. Go there, he will tell you. It's been proven that you have to let your anger function, but in a proper way. Now, the other thing is like, what does it mean, in your anger, do not sin? How do you sin? What is sin, what is not sin when you're angry? Basically, when you trespass against somebody else. In my sin, in my anger, I do not judge, I do not beat somebody else, I do not become violent physically. That's no. But sometimes when you, God put in us a spirit of righteousness. And when there's an unrighteousness, you can't just stuff it down. If somebody walk around and push my kids or a little baby and something like this, you know, you don't like this kind of thing. So there's a righteousness, there's a righteous anger that rise within you, and you have to say, stop. Right? You understand what I'm saying? Now, so we can use it properly. So there's things that we don't like. We have to be able to speak it out. And the thing that say, don't speak it out, you can't be angry, you know this kind of thing, you're judging me, you're condemning me. No, it's not about judging. Now we have to use wisdom to understand each other. Something happened in the family and the wife don't like it, or the husband don't like it. And you start to say, I don't like that, I don't like, you know, you did wrong, you did this. Now, it's a good, healthy way to communicate. And you need to be able to speak it out. But if you go beyond that, then it's not right. But you need to be able to speak your feeling. You understand what I'm saying? Don't judge yourself when you become angry. Don't condemn yourself when you become angry. But seek the counsel of the spirit of wisdom when you're angry. Now we're going to go into this, okay? So we're going to help each other how we're going to understand this. And every day, if you walk with wisdom, you will be successful, right? Now we're going to show you this. Okay. Question to you. Where does most battle happen in your life? Where? In your mind. So words, ideas, thoughts, with relatives, people who can speak into your life. Do you allow people to be honest to you, speak right into your life without getting angry, without having a battle, without having a fist? Right? Or fit? Is that good? I mean, if you have wisdom, you want to let someone to speak into your life. Right? And when you say yes to it, guess what? God will make it happen. But when it happens, then you either go, whoop, and pull your hair off. That's why some guys don't have any more hair. No, I'm just kidding. Right. Oh, is that when you're lonely? For some people of you, it's not in your mind. It's when loneliness hit you. Right? Okay, so you need to identify where's the battle come from most of the time. Okay, now I call it yours to discover. What do you discover? You discover through that battlefield, right, who you really are. What's your belief? Like, for example, when I say that if anger is an issue and everybody tell you it's sin to get angry, but now... don't go home and tell your partners, Pastor John allowed me to be angry with you right now, okay? And now I can damage the TV, I can do... No, that's not what I'm saying, right? I said you can be angry, but in your anger, do not sin. But you need to express your emotion, don't stuff it. And a lot of time, and say the moment you do this, say, you are sinning, you are not. God wants you to use it, but use it properly. That makes sense? Okay. I feel that some people need to receive that. There's some freedom take place. Okay? Now, If I'm talking to Bob, I'm picking on Bob again. Right, Bob, okay? What about Bob? Bob, well, if I'm talking, and if he don't like something, he will yell at me. That's okay. Yell. I'm glad he yelled at me. Because he has feeling. The moment he don't do that, it means that there's a controlling spirit. And that controlling spirit, where does it come from? Does it come from God? Or does it come from the enemy? You don't want that over him. And if you want to build a healthy relationship, you need to be able to express. Some of you, you've been to my home. You know me and my wife. We go. Every 10 minutes, we go at each other. And you say, what? The pastor fight together? Like, yeah, we are people, you know, but we are healthy now. Let me tell you. Alex is not here. Thank God. Okay. Okay. Now, there's one time I have a pastor, John and Trish Butzma, and they have 6 kids. And you go to their home, I'm telling you, the kids is running, the diapers is falling down, 3 kids with diapers, and one is screaming, the other one is splashing water in the kitchen. You name it, it's like, it's, and you, there will be like every 2-3 minutes, there'll be somebody screaming in the house. And here they go, John or Trish will be after the kids. Stop this! Don't pull her hair! Quiet down! You know, you do it like, and sometimes you see them, I see them getting frustrated, getting sometimes anger come out. And to be honest with you, I think, oh my God, who are these people? You know? But sometimes you say, God, okay, help me with wisdom. And this is what the Lord spoke to me. The Lord said to me, it's because they are comfortable with you. They don't treat you as strangers. They treat you as a member of the family. They are comfortable to talk to their kids in front of you, like with in front of. And I really look at this, I say, wow, I didn't realize this. Right? So I look at things different ways. Okay? Right. Yours to discover your belief, your thoughts pattern, your attitude, this emotion, your entire view, worldview. Right? Okay. Right. I'm looking at the word of wisdom here in Exodus chapter 28. It says, and obviously this is King James, he said, and thou shalt speak unto all that are wise heart. So, you are people that I believe are wise in your heart. Right? Whom I have filled with the spirit of wisdom. So this, when the spirit of wisdom come upon you, now you see, this is wisdom is spirit. How do you receive the spirit? How do you receive the Holy Spirit? By asking, by receiving it. Do you work for it? Do you study? Do you, you know, you pray, you ask God, and you believe, and you receive. So spirit of wisdom, you ask God, that's what the Bible says, ask, and I will give it to you. And then, what happened is, when you have the spirit of wisdom, your heart will be wise. So, when you need to find wisdom, guess where you have to go? You have to seek your heart. You have to go. And Jesus said this word, he said, the kingdom of heaven is like this man who looked for fine pearl, and when he find it, he will sell everything and he will look for the pearl. Now, how many of you know that people who look for pearl, they have to dive deep. They have to catch a breath. And they have no equipment in those days to go scuba diving and all this, you know. They have to be able to hold on to their breath, go deep. And that's in a way for us to be able to breathe in the Holy Spirit and to go deep, 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 and to find these fine pearls. Sometimes they are in a nutshell. You need to be able to crack it open. It's not easy to find, but it's there. That's why we understand how soaking works. When you spend time in the presence of God, you go deeper and deeper and deeper. That's where you will find that spirit of wisdom. Right? And the more you learn to practice this, the more you'll be more acquainted to it, and the more you'll be able to function more easier. It's like learning a language. You need to say, hello, how are you? And then next thing you say, I'm hungry, I'm thirsty. Then next thing you say, where's the toilet? Where's the bathroom? Where's the restroom? You know, when you go to Spain, where's the baño? Which means, where's the toilet? You need to know that thing. Because when you need it, you need to learn the language. That makes sense? Okay, so, that they may be make Aaron garment to consecrate him and minister unto in the priest's office. Now, okay, I want you to look at this word as well, the priest, the office of the priest. Now, there's things that we need to understand. I'm just a man. I'm a regular person like you, like everybody else. But when it comes to the office of a minister, it could be anything. It could be a prophet, evangelist, apostle, pastors, teachers, any office. That's when we need to recognize and honor the office. But that's why we want to learn. We respect the person, but we respect more the office of the person who's God calling to this place, in this position, right? Okay, so this one is like, this is a place where and Aaron is a high priest. Okay, let's look at the next one. Exodus 31, verse 3. So I have filled him with the Spirit of God in wisdom and in understanding. Now, how many of you receive the Holy Spirit? How many receive the Spirit of wisdom and understanding? Not all of us. Right? So, this one said, I fill him with wisdom in the Spirit of God, in wisdom and understanding and in knowledge and in all manners of workmanship. Now, this is a very interesting thing. What is the purpose of wisdom? The purpose for you to be wise so that you can do all things. That's what it say. Everything that God called you to do, wisdom come on you, you can do it. When the wisdom of God, I like that Holy Spirit University. You know, when the Holy Spirit come and fill you up, he fill you with understanding. Now, he fill you with wisdom. And it's amazing because God can do it. He created everything. How do you think some people, they discover something? I believe a lot of them because they have the wisdom of God. They discover a new way of doing things. The wisdom, I mean, for sure they study. You know, the Bible says study, show yourself, approve. Right? But I realize sometimes there's a gift of wisdom that come so that we can do things that God called us to do. So what are the things that God's called you to do? What is your dream? What is your hope? The Spirit of wisdom, if it's on you and understanding, right, you will be able to do it. Okay? Exodus 31, verse 6. And I, indeed, I have appointed with him Aholiab, the son of Ahishamach, a tribe of the tribe of Dan. And I put wisdom in the hearts of all the gifted artisan, that they may make all that I have commanded you. This is very interesting. Right? God appointed people, put them into different tribes, and he put wisdom in their heart, and now suddenly they become very crafted. They're able to do everything that... I don't know if you're getting the scriptures right now. Let's say, for example, God give me spirit of wisdom, understanding, and knowledge. Right? And Aaron, he speak to the people who was wise in heart. Right? And now, what happened is, let's say I gave Jude something to do. I received the spirit of wisdom, and I said, Jude, I want you to do this and to do that. Because of that spirit of wisdom, she can do all things that I tell her. Everything that I command her to do, she can do it. Some people say, is it magic? No, it's not. It's the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit worked this way. When Jesus commanded the disciples, said, feed those people. We have nowhere to go. It's like there's not enough food. You can do all things. Yes, you can do it. Just do it. We go and it multiplies. Miracle happened. And miracle for us is miracle, but in the eyes and the mind of God, miracle is every day. There was a man, I think his name is Hicks, Tony Hicks, I think. Have you heard about this story about the revival in Argentina? The beginning of revival. Now, Argentina was a nation that was, there was war, there was communism, and there was all things, was nobody wanted. There was not, the gospel was preached, it was not a good place. And this man, not a Bible scholar, have no degrees, have nothing, and really, nobody even know who he is. The Holy Spirit speak to him. God said to him, go to Argentina and pray for Peron. How many know that story? No? Okay, let me tell you a story, man. And so Tony arrived, go to Argentina. He paid his own airfare and all this kind of thing. He arrived there and he looked at the airport official and said, why are you here? Said, God sent me here because he wants me to pray for someone. And say, who is this? He said, Peron. And said, do you know who he is? And the God said, he's the president of his nation. And this guy said, what? He's what? Are you kidding me? No, he is the president. And you know the story of parents? Like, I think there was a movie made about some of them. So then he went to the government and to the house of where he lives, and the guards at the door, and he said to the guards, I want to go and pray for the president. God sent me here to pray for him. The guards say, who are you? I'm this. No, you can't. You just can't just go and pray for the president. And the guy said, well, God, what do I do now? And it happened that this guard has some skin disease on his face. And he looked at this man and said, can I pray for you? And the God said, yeah, you can pray for me, but you can't pray for the president, right? And he said, I pray for you that you'll get healed. So he prayed for this God at the door, at the gate. This man got healed right away of his skin disease, just poof, right? And I've seen some miracles. I'm not talking about years on video like old days. I'm talking about, I've seen some of the miracles that's been happening only a few couple of years ago, and where cancer literally come out of the people's body and fell on the ground, and people just get up and heal. Right? I've seen people who bring people who have an accident, they're dead, and they bring them, and they already, you know, arm has been amputated and everything, and they pray. And these people become alive again. Not too long ago, there was a little boy who was dead in Kathmandu. Right? This is about 3-4 weeks ago. Who received, the two men received an anointing. And they went to the hospital and they prayed for this boy who was dead for 2 days. And this boy came back to life. So this man now pray for the gods, and the gods look at his hand and everything, and he was healed. And guess what happened? He went to the president. And the president say, look like I know you. Say, it's me. And somebody pray for me, and I got healed. And he told me God sent him to pray for you. Guess what the president say? Send him in. Right? And when he prayed, and this is when the revival took place, and he prayed for the president got healed. God used this man, simple guy, and when he said, the president said, what can I do for you? He said, I want you to give me a stadium, and endorse that stadium, let me preach in the stadium. And the president said, I can do that. Why? Because he got healed, right? So they went into the stadium and not realizing, and that's, the stadium was packed and full. There was about 40,000 people, something, and this man is a no-name person. Nobody know who he is. But the president was behind this. People show up. A few days later, they realized this is too small. They went to the biggest stadium in Argentina, over 80,000+ people. That stadium was full and packed. And they have to put speakers outside the stadium on the street because we have over a couple of thousand people outside. And there was miracles and miracles and miracles and healing and healing and healing took place. It was amazing. And that was the beginning of the Argentina revival. And the Argentina revival has impacted a lot of revival around the world, right? So this is how it's said, like, you got a download from God. God speaks something to you. And Jesus did the same thing. We see from the Father, and when he gives somebody a command, wisdom comes when you listen to it. And things start to take place. How many believe and say, I can do all things for Christ? That's what it is. Wisdom works this way. And if God gives you something to do, you wonder, oh my God, how can I? How would I do that? I have no idea. How many had that? How many have something God tell you to do, and you think it's too big? Whatever it is, it's not. Just ask wisdom, and wisdom will open doors for you. There was something in my heart. Just to give you an idea. I feel the Lord say to me one day that there's a couple of things, but one thing that the Lord spoke to me, I think, and He said to me that we're going to fill the stadium in China one day for His glory. Right? It's for His glory. And I talked to what's this guy's name from England? Bobby, remind me. Noel Richard has been going around and filled the stadium after the soccer in Wembley. He did fill the Wembley Stadium, but the one in Germany, you know, the World Cup in Germany? He filled the stadium. There were more people in the stadium than on the final of the World Cup because he filled the ground. And it was an awesome thing. So Noel has this, and for him, it's easy for him to fill a stadium. He go and he just fill it up. He just send out invitation. People just come. Right? And I talked to Noel 2 years ago. I said, Noel, I believe God wants us to fill the stadium in Beijing for His glory. And so, and we're praying. Next thing I know, I went to China. God opened door for me to meet some official in China. Little that I know, they are Christian believers. They are judge. Some of them are the head of the police. They are Christian believers. And I'm saying, oh my God. And the one of the church in Beijing, the second largest church, foreign church in Beijing, they are a couple who graduate from our school of ministry here at Catch the Fire. And they run the church. Right? And so now, wisdom come. Wisdom make you work something. It doesn't come for you not to do anything. It makes you do something, right? Okay, Exodus 35:31. And he has filled him with the Spirit of God in wisdom and the same knowledge in all manner of workmanship. And this is what they need those days. They need to build, so they need some people to work. Okay. These two men, I won't pronounce their name. I can if I want to, but just save me from some. And every gifted artisan in whom the Lord has put wisdom and understanding. See, wisdom and understanding go together. If somebody talks to you and you start to argue, There's no understanding. That's why we need to stop sometimes and say, I want to understand what you're saying before I start to speak, open my mouth to say anything. A lot of time people don't take time to listen. The very first two words, they already have something to say. We need to quiet some time. So wisdom and understanding is very key, right? To know how to do all manners of work in the, for the service of the sanctuary shall do according to all that the Lord has commanded. So wisdom will is a key for you to be able to fulfill everything that God has commanded you to do. What God is telling you to do. What is your job right now? Jude, what are you doing? God, what is saying to you? Wisdom will make everything possible. Nothing is going to be impossible. All right, Proverb 8. I love Proverbs. For wisdom is better than rubies, and all the things one desire cannot be compared with her. How many like rubies? How many like Rolex? How many nice good stuff? I do. Good stuff. Good stuff. How many like an iPad? Whatever. We can go on the list. So anyway, everything that, these precious thing that value that they have, right? It said all these things cannot compare to wisdom. So if you have wisdom and all these things, which one are you going to choose? Wisdom. Okay, let me give you another example. You're going to buy a house one day. You're going to sell a house one day. You're going to buy a car one day. You're going to sell something. You buy something. You're going to make a choice. You have to find a partner. You want to get married. Right? You want to find a job. Or you want to choose a career in your life. What do you need? All these things put together cannot compare with wisdom. Your job, your title, your position. Can I put it another way? All the money that you have in the bank and all your family that they have in their bank, you put all of them together, cannot compare to wisdom. Now, how much money they have? How much money you have put together? A lot? Well, wisdom is more than that. Does that make sense? And if you have wisdom, guess what happened? You'll be the richest person among all your family if you have more wisdom than them. Nana, it's good to laugh. Don't be shy. Keep laughing. That's good. No, this is true. You want to say to your aunt, if I'm more wise than you, I'll have more money than you. You'll have your house. This is what he say. Because fool lose things at the end. The Bible says that the ways of man look right at his eyes, but at the end is destruction. We need to ask for wisdom. So everything you do, seek God for wisdom before you do anything. Okay, Isaiah 38:6. All about these things men live, and in all these things is the life of my spirit, so you will restore and make me live. This is what God is in the business of restoration, right? And all these things men live. Men go after all these kind of things. Nice. I mean, it's good, but guess what? It's a wisdom that will bring restoration. If you have something that you're asking God for restoration, and I believe I have something I want God to restore, I can't do it on my own. So guess what? With wisdom, it's possible. Wisdom in your, it will make things possible to restore, right? And make you live. It's good to teach our children to be wise as well. Take time to spend in the presence of God. Jeremiah 20 verse 5, moreover, I will deliver all the wealth of this city, all its produce. Now, Jeremiah 20, this is very interesting. If you read from the beginning of this, it's talking about there's a battle going on. There's enemies coming against them. And because they have not seeked the Lord, there's a curse upon them. So that's what he's saying. Moreover, I will deliver all the wealth of this city, all its produce and all its precious things, all the treasures of the kings of Judah, I will give into the hand of the enemies who will plunder them, seize them, and carry them to Babylon. That's not a good thing because we did not seek God for wisdom. Isaiah 11. Isaiah 11 has been very loud lately. Somehow the Spirit of God is using Isaiah chapter 11. I'll encourage you to spend time to read that chapter, to meditate on Isaiah chapter 11. Somehow there's something very, very in this present right now, in this timing right now, it's speaking very loud. Verse 17 to 21. Therefore, thus said the Lord God, I will gather you from the people assembled from the countries where you have been scattered, and I will give you the land of Israel. This is when God brings restoration, when people start to seek wisdom. God start to do the very best thing the moment we start to go after wisdom. The moment we walk away from wisdom, bad thing happen. The moment we go for wisdom, good thing happen. This is what he say. Right? And I will give you the land of Israel, and they will go there, and they will take away all its detestable things and all its abomination from there. Obviously, there's been a lot of foolish thing happen in the land. If you have things that have been done in your house, there's things that is not right. All these detestable things, destroy them. Don't keep them. No matter how they're valuable, right? Go to this guy, whatever he's called, Jewish guy on the commercial. Bring me your money, I'll give you money. Right. I forgot his name. Oliver. Then I will give you them one heart, and I will put a new spirit after this is restoration. When you start to, if you know this thing is not right, take them out. And then this is what he say, and I will give them one heart. Everyone will have the same heart, and I will put a new spirit with them. Now, this is amazing when I see husband and wife have the same heart and the same spirit. How much more now if the whole church have the same heart, same mind, same spirit? And this is talking about the whole city, the whole nation of Israel. Right? And one thing that the commandment said, the Lord is one. And take the stony heart out of their flesh and give them a heart of flesh, so that they may walk in my statute and keep my judgment and do them, and they shall be my people, and I will be their God. God wants to be your God. You want God to be your God. You don't want that stony heart. So let's go for wisdom. But as for those whose hearts follow the desire of their detestable things and their abomination, I will recompense their deeds on their own heads, say the Lord. In other words, which one you want to choose? This or that, God's going to do something. So you know what's happened right now. So you know at the end of the story what's. So it's your choice. You make. You have the option to make here, right? Isaiah 11, 24, verse 25. Then the Spirit, the same chapter, which I cannot have time to read today. Not Isaiah 11. No? Okay. Let me look for that. Okay? Let's keep reading. And the Spirit took me up and brought me in a vision and by the Spirit of God into Chaldea to those in captivity, and the vision that I have seen went up from me. So I spoke to those in captivity of all the things the Lord have shown me. Now, Ezekiel 11. Thank you. See, I can command God give wisdom to someone. That's how it works. See? Okay. Now, this is what he say. This prophet now, after the restoration, after the thing that people have lost, everything was taken away from the city. All the wealth, they have lost, even the land. God restore everything back. Now, not only God restore them because they apply wisdom, they start to seek God. And you and I are called to see God. No matter if Jesus died on the cross 2,000 years, we're still called to see God, right? Okay. So, when we see God, this is what happened. Verse 2, now have the Spirit of God and understanding wisdom. God take this man, took him in the Spirit, move him to a place where he now visit other people who is captive, and he preached to them, and these people have been set free. You know what happened to Stephen? He was carrying a vision. Now, a couple of years ago, about 1984, that's more than a couple of years, right? 1984, I heard this testimony, this man who gave a testimony. One day, he was having dinner in his own home, in his kitchen, and the Lord spoke to him and said, give him a date and a time, and said, get ready. That's all he have, right? Let's say, for example, he said, April 19, 7 o'clock in the morning, get ready. Well, that's all he had. And he didn't know what to get ready. He didn't know what to do, what's going to happen. No idea. And the same thing, he wake up, have his breakfast, take a shower, and then he take his little bag, he put whatever his stuff in it, a couple of clothes, whatever, and he step outside his house, lock the door, and he say, God, okay, I'm ready. The moment he say, I'm ready, God transport this man into another land. He have no idea where he was. And while he was there, there was another person with him, and he realized that is an angel. And the angel said, you have only 10 minutes. You have to be quick. And he saw a group of people running, right? And he has to tell them about Jesus. And as they were running, they didn't know where to go. And so he told them about Jesus, and he told them which way to go. Because they were going this way, say, do not go this way. You have to go that way. And later he found out these are the people who were running from Soviet Union to go to the free nation. They were running away, and the soldiers was after them. They were running with their wife and kids. There was about 20 people. Now, years later passed by. Somehow, it happened that he met some of these people who he talked to them in that transportation and vision. You and I, when we start to seek after the face of God, God will make us a spokesperson for him. God will do everything he can do. God is looking for vessel. God is building the church on the foundation, right? The Bible says, those who win soul are wise. We are a vessel, a yielding vessel. He's a potter, we are the clay. So we need to be able to let God do whatever. Now, giving testimonies, let me tell you this. It's a very, very good thing. Every time when I say, give a testimony, can anyone have a testimony? You see, the Bible says we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimonies. The word of your testimony, you not testify about you. You testify about what God's done in you. So it's not about you. So don't be too full of yourself. It's not about you. And when you talk about what God is doing through you, you give him the glory, and that's what he wants. If you don't do that, you steal away his glory. You know the word toda, which means thanksgiving, thank you? The scriptures say, I will give thanks to the Lord my God. You know the word toda, literally that Hebrew word? It means, I will go tell people about what you've done in my life. If I say, Susan, thank you, thank you very much. That's not toda. That's not thank you. In the Hebrew, we mean, I'm going to tell you and you and you and you and you what Susan done to me. That's how it means. So we won't say, God, thank you. No! Go and tell others. That's what Jesus say. Go and tell them. So when we give a testimony, it's being glory to God. Folks, don't steal. That's glory belong to Him. He don't want to share it with anybody else. We want to see people share what God's done in your life. Okay, I want to show you one more thing before we... Okay. How many of you have heard about these pastors who were killed? He was one of the only Christian and the member of the Pakistan government. I want to show you a little video clip, if I can get these things work right now. It's a little bit slow. Anyway, he recorded this only 2 or 3 days before he was assassinated. And he knew they were going to kill him. And he, because he's a Christian, he's been getting threat. So he put this video and he said, I wish I could have played this, but he said, I am a Christian. I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. He's my Lord. He's done everything for me. And then he said, these people are going to kill me. But before I die, I want to serve my community. I want to do the right thing. And so he gave a testimony about his faith in Jesus Christ. Because he knew he's going to die. He didn't know when, but he knew it. It's going to happen. It doesn't work. The internet a little bit slow here. So I can put it on the website if you can go there, or put it on the newsletter so you can click on the link, watch it. Because on ABC News, you probably get 10-second commercial before you can watch it. But it's not a long testimony. It's about 3 minutes, I think. And you see who he is and how he gave his life. Now, why are we talking? Why did I mention about this? There's a memorial happening today at 1 o'clock. But also the Bible talks about that the foundation that upon which God is building upon. And how many know what foundation he's talking about? What do you think it is? Church? It's talking about also the blood of the martyr. Have you heard about this? The blood of the martyr. Those who's been killed for the gospel. God built upon those who die for the kingdom, for the gospel. And every place where somebody has died for the gospel, somehow we've realized, we don't know how long it takes, but every place where somebody was killed, know that they're going to be killed and choose to live 100% for Jesus, there's a revival took place. Every place. How many of you have seen there's a video called Transformation Video? If you look at it, every time you find, because someone has died for Jesus, that's where the city has been transformed. Now we see this man who gave his life for the gospel in Pakistan, and they bury him in his own hometown later, right? So we believe that there's many Christians being killed in Nepal, in all different nations. In all these places, I'm telling you, it's going to be a revival. So the question is, who want to be killed here in Ajax? Anyone? Well, we're not in the place where we face danger. You know, we're not in a place where there's guns, rifle going on, but there's a time when you have to realize, I was living in Africa for 7 years, and there was a time when we call them rebels or whatever, we come into the church with gun and we say to everybody to renounce about your faith. It was an African nation. And we start shooting people. We saw people run away and we got killed. We killed them as we're running away. And we took to the pastor and said, I want you to renounce your faith. The pastor said, no, I can't do that. Ask me anything. And we shoot him right there, boom. But thank God, one of these men who was the leader of his, there's a name for it, this rebel, years later, when he became a Christian, and now he's preaching the gospel to those people. You know? So we are in a place where we want God to use us. We want to reach out to the lost. We want to allow the Holy Spirit to move us how he wants to move us. It's his choice. And always say, God, here am I. Take me. Use me. Do whatever you want. And right now I feel the Lord say, seek after his counsel. Seek wisdom in your situation you're in right now. You can't go wrong, I'm telling you. You cannot go wrong when you find God. I shared this the other day, last week, just in closure of it, I was getting, in my dream, the Lord started to speak to me about what to preach and what to say. And one word, the Lord kind of changed subject, and he said to me, pastors are like pomegranates. And I thought, really? So that's what he said to me in my dreams. And I don't know much. So the very next day, I was listening to Benny Hinn and with his Dr. Colbert on Monday, and they were talking about pomegranates. I thought, wow. And he talked about all the benefit of being having pomegranates. So I start drinking pomegranate. They're expensive, but you know, when God speaks something to you like this, half price. I drink POM, P-O-M, you know that thing? Anyway, all right, let's stand, let's pray. How many of you have your resume you want us to pray for you? And then I'm going to do this couple of things. So I'm going to pray for the first row, or you three guys, and I'm going to ask you to turn around to pray for the next row, and you guys are going to pray for the third, pray for the fourth, pray for the fifth row. Same thing on this side. We're going to pray for each other because I believe that's what the Lord showed me to do. I want to be obedient to this, right? So we're going to pray for each other for the spirit of wisdom and understanding.